Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. As I mentioned earlier, we've been taking a different look around what the reaction has been to President Ramaphosa's speech. We spoke with Professor Sandile Swane earlier. He was less than impressed. Tanya Curry from Acumen Media seems fairly supportive. And then we wanted to check in with Helen Ziller. Helen Ziller is, of course, Democratic Alliance Federal Council Chairperson. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. It's good to be with you. Thank you. I'm well. And thank you to Sena for making all the arrangements.
Absolutely right. So it was fascinating because he certainly said some of the things we wanted to hear. There was a vague reference, I thought, almost to reality. But I'd love your thoughts on it.
Well, I thought it was a very brave speech in the context. You know, he's at war in his party. And the war is between constitutionalists and people who believe in a market system, and he stands firmly in that camp. And then there is the real challenge of the radical economic transformation people who believe that the state should control everything. In fact, who believe the party should control everything. The party should control the state, and the state should control society. And you will remember that the most heckled speech in his sentence in his entire speech was the one where he said, the state does not create jobs, business does. Do you remember that?
Absolutely. Very
and
powerful,
everybody started
very
heckling.
Powerful statement. Mm.
Well, it's a very true statement.
Absolutely.
And it's a statement that the DA has used forever.
Mm.
And he is now firmly rooted in the paradigm of the market economy. He is firmly rooted in the paradigm of the enabling state, not the controlling state. And these are big shifts for the ANC.
Do you think
that's one thing to say?
Yeah, it absolutely.
It's one thing to say it, Howard. It's quite another thing to do it.
Right. Well, that's always the question. A lot of us were watching to see if he was speaking as an ANC member or if he was speaking as a president of the country, because this is always, we never quite know who we're going to get. Is it going to be the ANC or who comes first? Last night, I thought was more about the country. What was your impression?
Yes, absolutely. It was more about the country. And he was taking on his party, actually. He was certainly throwing down the gauntlet for the EFF. And it was very interesting how he kept on saying that all the problems would be solved by appointments that are not in his cabinet, in the presidency and various other places. And he was very clear on the incapacity of the state. And he's starting to use words that I've been using for many years now, such as the capable state. And the whole idea of the party having a limited role in electing a government, the state being independent and serving all the people, and the economy being a driver of jobs and growth, or growth and jobs in that way around, that's a big step for the ANC. They're now firmly rooted in that new paradigm, or at least Ramaphosa is. The extent to which other people in his party will follow him is the big question. And by far the biggest question is whether or not they have the capacity to do what he says they should.
Well, he seems to think that they don't, in that he's bringing in outsiders from the business sector to deal with things that his government should be able to deal with.
Yes, Sipho Nkosi and other people like that, absolutely. And it's interesting that when he refers to his ministers, for example, in the security cluster, he admits head on that they don't have the capacity. And he admits head on that there's been a massive state failure in the security cluster. And he spoke about bringing the private sector in to help with public prosecutions. And he spoke about a whole range of log jams in the state, which he proposed bringing the private sector into to help resolve. Now, you know, it's very hard to emphasize what a big step this is for an ANC president, talking to his very, very divided party and saying these things. But you see, he, by his own admission, does not have the capacity in his party to do it. And that's where not only the private sector comes in, but it's where the DA comes in, quite frankly. We now govern a province, and we have for quite a while. We govern 12 cities and towns outright. one major city, Cape Town, but 12 outright without having to go into coalitions. And we also now in 23 coalitions countrywide. And so the realignment of politics is upon us. There's going to be a massive backlash from the RET faction. You heard that Julius Malema was more than outraged about that speech, arguing that the president is outsourcing his problems to the private sector. And of course, that falls straight in line with Julius Malema's ideology. Julius Malema's ideology being the party must control the state and the state must control society. And if any jobs are created, it's because the state commands that they be created. And he has no idea what the developmental state is. He believes the developmental state is a controlling state and a dictatorial state. And so the battle lines are very, very clearly drawn. And when the president said there is a battle for the soul of South Africa, he was not fooling. He was not fooling. And I think he quite bravely took his place on that battlefield. Now, whether he'll be able to follow up is another question, but the DA will follow up.
What's interesting about that is from a DA perspective, it does signify, as you've mentioned, quite a shift, almost much more, to become much more aligned with the DA's type of approach. Does that mean, from a DA's perspective, that you would have to re-look at the approach to the ANC or the approach to the president, in other words, to lend him support in this way, rather than to be as, not confrontational, because that's your that's the job of any opposition party, but to assist him along the journey?
Well, let's take that key milestone, 2024, the next national and provincial election. That is going to be a critical milestone. It is very likely that having nailed his colours to the mast and having gone out to battle, we first have to hope that President Ramaphosa does win the battle internally in the ANC at the end of this year. But if he does, and if he is leading the ANC into 2024, then what this tells us is that the ANC will most likely fall below 50% in 2024. And that means that we will either be governed in some kind of coalition between the EFF and the Radical Economic Transformation faction. That's, of course, the worst of all possible worlds. Or we will be governed by the Cyril Ramaphosa faction in coalition with the DA. And, of course, that's the best of all possible worlds as far as we're concerned.
Absolutely.
At this stage.
At this stage, absolutely. And do you think that he is going to get, I know we've spoken about pushback from the EFF, we know that the RET faction is not going to have been happy with last night. Do you think that those who support him within the ANC will stand by him now through these, what's going to be a difficult period for him?
That's a very big question and an important question, Howard. He obviously felt that he had to cross this Rubicon, and for him it was a kind of mini Rubicon speech, in my view. There are many people who will disagree. I do not believe that the ANC's got the capacity to do what Cyril Ramaphosa is pledging, even though he pledged to get the party out of the way of the state and the state out of the way of business and try and reduce red tape and do all of that. It's an enormously bold move for him. But I don't think he's got the capacity to do it. And I think more and more he's going to be looking to where the DA governs to do it. So, for example, it's no coincidence that he stood outside a burning parliament and said, well, at least there's one city in South Africa that works. And at least there's one city in South Africa where the emergency services are out and dealing with this crisis. And it's not a coincidence that he stood in this absolutely beautiful and pristine and perfect City Hall that looks so absolutely gorgeous compared to the ravages of many of the city halls and the traditional buildings across South Africa in the major cities. So we have this perfect City Hall showing off everything it's got, and the president thanking the mayor of Cape Town for making it available because Parliament has burned down.
Absolutely. I didn't think of that at all.
Know,
absolutely amazing.
Those are hugely symbolic moments.
It is actually incredible. I mean, I got stuck on the symbolism of the burning parliament and the fact that they couldn't actually, you couldn't hold Sona there. To me, that was a symbolism that I got stuck with. But of course, you're absolutely right, looking at the city of Cape Town, how it facilitated it and how actually magnificent it was. So many people were so negative until they started to see what it was and how it was showcased, and things started to shift a little bit. So that was very, very interesting indeed. Unfortunately,
I mean, the city hall was beautiful and it was showing off last night. The city hall was really showing off last night. It was spectacular.
It really, really was. Helen Ziller, thank you for your time, for your analysis, and for the amazing work that you do. That's unfortunately all we do have time for.